This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principle.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
This offense will be calibrated with Caleb in mind. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. No, we're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Handling Ben's vision for us is our buddy Matt Miller, because we are a week away from the draft in Green Bay, and we thought that we would pick his brain about what the Bears can, will, and have done. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Doing well, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
It's a good brain to pick, don't you think, Lawrence? And now it's got to be chock full of goodness, like rumors and concepts and all sorts of things. This is your time, Matt Miller.
Right now, my brain is full of, I need to sleep, I need a bourbon, and I can't wait to get to Green Bay. That's where I'm at right now. I don't know about anything good, guys. That's what you're getting out of me today.
I think that that's a strong way to go about the final week leading up to the draft. I want to go back a few years with you for a second. I'd love to know what you thought about Kyler Gordon and how close he is now that he's gotten an extension to what you believed he would be coming out of Washington.
Yeah, I would have to pull up my exact notes on him, but I know I liked him. I thought I had a second round grade on him. So I was a big fan. Obviously, you know, he's a really, really good athlete. That was something that easily stood out to him. And then having played slot, I think took away some of the weaknesses, some of the deficiencies that showed up with his size. So playing him now, I think, is really smart, because the number on corners is only going to continue to go up. Obviously, we've seen that over the past year. So, like, you guys have probably seen me post this. If not, you should be reading my tweets more closely. But I do think, like, there's the idea about team building is draft good players and then pay them early. They don't Dallas Cowboys this thing where you wait as long as humanly possible, or the Cincinnati Bengals, because the price only continues to go up the longer you wait to pay a guy. So I did pull it up. I had a late first, early second round grade on Kyler Gordon. So where he was drafted, I think pick 7 in the second round is exactly where I had him ranked. And he's absolutely lived up to that draft grade.
Look at Matt Miller's skills, pulling up the Kyler Gordon draft scouting file as he's talking with us. Yeah, and we'll have more on Kyler and what his role is going to be a little bit later on in the show. Our guy Mark Grody will be here talking about what the Bears assistant coaches had to say today. Is there a corner that's worthwhile of the Bears to consider at 9 or in the top 20, just in case they wanted to, for the spot opposite Jalen Johnson?
Guys, I had an article come out this morning, and in that article, I talked to 10 different NFL scouts, and I asked them to do a mock draft. So a guy from one team was the Titans, another team was the Browns, and the rule was they couldn't be a scout for their own team. I just did the top 10. When I got to the Bears at 10, Ashton Jeanty was off the board. The top tight ends were on the board. Top defensive tackles other than Mason Graham were on the board. And this scout took Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan. So I do think that there is a – and that's a little rich just based on what I've heard. You know, Will didn't have a very good pre-draft process because of the turf toe that he missed half the season with and then the hamstring issue. But he's a really, really good player. And when he was on the field this year, he had two picks. He took both back for touchdowns. And when he played in 2023, he looked like one of the best corners in the country. So it's a little bit like Derek Stingley Jr. If you remember that pre-draft process, folks were just crushing this guy of, oh, he can't stay healthy. We don't know how fast he is. He was the number three pick in the draft, and now he's one of the best corners in the league. And he was picked ahead of Sauce Gardner, who at the time that was kind of controversial. So I think with Will, he might slip a little bit in the draft and maybe even a little bit later than 10, but he's going to be a really good player. And opposite Jalen and Kyler, it would be fun because I think his size allows him to play off. Like that's where he's best, is playing almost in his zone, being able to read corners and being able to read receivers. And he's so good at jumping routes and making something happen, forcing those turnovers and flipping the field.
Matt, how far is the gap between Jeanty and your next running back versus what could be available for the Bears at, let's say, tackle and the next tackle that would be available in that 10 spot?
So I have Jeanty at 3 overall. He's blue chip, super special. I have a Marion Hampton at 19 overall. So there's a pretty big divide between those guys. And it's really the difference between like an elite player and a good player. I think at tackle, my top tackle is Kelvin Banks. He's my number 8 overall guy. But then I have Membo at 10 and Will Campbell at, I think, 11. I'm going off memory here, so those might be off one or two spots. But I know Banks is number 8 and Membo is number 10. So I like those guys all similarly. The difference is Membo's only played right tackle. You know, 30-some starts in college, only played right tackle. Campbell, you're going to have the conversation about the shorter wingspan, the shorter arm length. The upright stance makes me worry about moving him to guard because he does play almost standing straight up at left tackle. So that would be a little bit of an issue of, okay, if he's going to play guard, we got to rework the stance. That could be an issue. And I remain a Kelvin Banks guy. I don't understand where the, you know, what's happened with Kelvin Banks, who gave up 3 sacks in 3 seasons at Texas. He was the week one left tackle his true freshman season. He's 6'5". He has 33.5-inch arms. So a lot of the negatives that come up with Will Campbell or Josh Simmons or Armon Membo, those don't exist for Kelvin Banks. And yet you read mock drafts and he's being picked in the 20s. I'm going to stand on the hill that he's a top 10 player in this class, and he's going to be a steal if he gets drafted. You know, if he gets drafted by Chicago at 10, I'll think it's a great pick. San Francisco at 11, it'll be a great pick. Someone's going to get a dynamic player if they draft him in the top 20.
You know, it's interesting. Let's dive into this mock draft exercise that you did just today with all those writers. So if Jeanty is gone by the time the Bears get to 10, and let's say, you know, one of the tackles is gone, and certainly Mason Graham is gone, and certainly Abdul Carter is gone. Like, who else needs to be gone for it to make sense for the Bears to trade down? Because we've heard a lot that this draft, you know, like below what? Below 7, below 8, something like that. That the players between like 8 and 40, there's a lot of right, there's a lot of
well, I disagree equality with that range.
Okay,
yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't trade down, guys. I wouldn't do it. I would not trade down from 10. I think the number one reason is, why would you trade down? Who's coming up? What are they coming up for? Who's trying to jump the San Francisco 49ers at 11? No one, right? And the Bears and Niners have a lot of the same needs. I wouldn't trade out. If Ashton Jeanty's there, take him. If he's not there, Kelvin Banks, take him. If for some reason he's not there, I would draft Colston Loveland, the tight end from Michigan, and be very, very happy about, now I've got my Sam Laporta. I can run 12 personnel with he and Cole Kmet because I can run 2 tight ends. And you could get a running back with one of those 2 picks in the second round. You can get a defensive end or a defensive tackle with one of those 2 picks in the second round. And I would be whistling happy walking home on Friday night. If you come out of here with Colston Loveland, a running back, and a defensive lineman, it's a pretty dang good draft. I would be very happy about that. And I would say the same. If you get Kelvin Banks at 10, okay, he and Braxton Jones are probably going to have a little bit of a battle. Or maybe you even have the conversation now of, could we trade Braxton Jones, who's about to be in a contract year? Could you get something back for him instead of just a future compensatory selection if you let him walk? You open up a lot of doors for opportunity, and you reset your clock at left tackle. So you're not having to pay a left tackle for five more years at this point, maybe six with a franchise tag. I would be excited about that possibility. I know that people have said it's a flat draft, it's not a good draft. I'm going to push back against that. I think this is a starter draft, and I do think there are blue chip caliber players who are going to find their way to picks 10, 11, 12, just because we might see teams reach for quarterbacks, or we might see teams reach for pass rushers. That's going to push some good players down.
Do you like Colston Loveland more than you like Tyler Warren?
I do. I do. I think Loveland is a better route runner. I think he's a better blocker, and I think he's a better athlete. And I know folks in Chicago watch a lot of Big Ten football. What you saw last year was Tyler Warren be schemed a ton of opportunities, which is awesome. They were smart. Penn State did a really good job because they didn't have any wide receivers. So it's like, hey, let's scheme our best offensive player a ton of touches. And it led to huge production. I worry a little bit about Tyler Warren being able to find those openings and find that production in the NFL on his own. With Colston Loveland, I have none of those concerns because he is a better route runner and he is a better athlete. At Michigan, he played in the slot. He played in line. He's a very good run blocker from both of those positions. So I like both guys. I'm not going to disparage Tyler Warren. He's a great player. I would just prefer Colston Loveland. I think he's an easier evaluation as you project those skills to the NFL.
Matt, I'd love to know from your experience of being inside of the draft complex on why this happens every single year. We look at the draft and we look at what happened in college football and you go, okay, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. And then by the time we get to 2 weeks or 3 weeks away from the draft, it's like, well, maybe Jalen Milroe or Tyler Shough. Like maybe those guys, Jackson Dart kind of magically appears in mocks. Why does this always happen during the offseason instead of like right at the end of it?
So you're out car shopping and you think you know what car you want, and then you're driving and you see all these other cars and you're like, wait, maybe I want a Jeep, or maybe I want a truck instead, or maybe I want a sports car. NFL teams are doing the same thing with these quarterbacks right now. When you don't love the option, other options are going to catch your eye. And that is what has happened since February. Teams did not fall in love with Shedeur Sanders at the East-West Shrine Game. They did not fall in love with him at the NFL Combine. And guess what happened at the Senior Bowl? Oh, Jackson Dart. And then here comes Tyler Shough. And then at the Combine, it was, well, here comes Jalen Milroe. And maybe here comes Will Howard. And let's not forget about Quinn Ewers. So I think what has happened, guys, is that those teams don't love the option. So they're saying, let's be really thorough and look behind every door and make sure there's not something over here that we like a little bit better than the option that we were presented as, you know, this great, you know, he was supposed to be the number two overall pick when we were at the Combine. That was 2 months ago. And you're right. Now, you know, there's definitely a conversation of, will he go 9? Will he go 21? Will he go 26? I mean, it is a massive range for where he could be selected.
Is that different than most years? It feels like every year there's some quarterback that gets talked up into the top 5. I guess we're not seeing that, but we're seeing a couple talked up maybe into the top 15 or top 20.
I mean, it's every year. You know, it's Malik Willis. It's Matt Corral. It's, you know, it does feel like Desmond Ridder every year. Last year didn't happen because 6 went in the top 12. So there wasn't that opportunity. I think Bo Nix was the guy that got talked up, but he actually went. So this is a little bit different. I do still think he'll be a first-round pick, and I think he deserves to be a first.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Trump pick. I really do. I mean, his toughness, his accuracy, his field vision, he has tools separate from his name that I think are first round caliber. And I think we'll ultimately see that play out. But the idea that he was a shoe-in to go two or three, I think that was rooted more in expectation than in reality.
Matt, which coaches by position have you found to be the most honest about their players?
Oh my gosh, like college coaches?
Yeah. Is it the QB
offensive line coaches? Offensive line. Yeah, because they're not there for anybody's business. They're very honest. I mean, strength and conditioning coaches are who you want to talk to first because they're with the players the most. They're going to be more honest. They're not really worried about like recruiting and things like that. So I think strength and conditioning is your front line of defense. And then I love offensive line coaches. I think DB coaches are pretty good as well on the defensive side. Like if you can get a good defensive backs coach, especially somebody that's been there a while, they'll be pretty upfront with you. But you know, that part of the game is changing because you got the transfer portal that's open 12 months out of the year, it feels like. And if you upset a player, they're going to hit the portal. So it really has been a changed dynamic to where now coaches have to worry about not upsetting a guy. So after a player leaves college is when you start to get the good stuff because they're no longer trying to recruit to basically keep them in-house.
Matt Miller of ESPN, NFL Draft Scout on Twitter, is the best partner that the Guwagi Mission has ever had. I mean, he's pushed it forward. Got a mention last year on the draft. So we need to ask you, who has the best go-up-and-get-it skill set among the tight ends or the wide receivers? Like, who is your best Guwagi guy to offer to our listeners right now?
Well, I think Travis Hunter is the poster boy for Guwagi to go up and get it, to be 6 foot, 188 pounds, and he plays every football like he owns the damn thing. I mean, he goes up, and there is true ownership of the ball. Tet McMillan would be a solid option as well, 6 foot four, 220 pounds. I think he would be a runner-up, but it has to be Travis Hunter. No one has ball skills in this draft like he does.
Well, you know, Matt understands that Guwagi is an assortment of specific skills that coalesce to one powerful scouting attribute. That said, I can't help but notice that the Guwagi hat has not been visible in the background.
Why don't you leave this man alone?
It's right there.
I'm just saying it's...
See?
It is there. Look at that. It's up top. If you're watching on Twitch, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
I'm going to move down. As soon as we're off, I'm moving it down.
But, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in your background. The Stephen King collection.
Thank you.
Stephen King collection.
The stand.
It's everything. It's like three shelves of excellence.
I'm not going to put the books back there that I've never read like everyone else does. You know, like, I don't need the... It's like there's a sports writer collection on Amazon you can buy, and it sends you all these really impressive books. Like, no, this is stuff I've actually read. The books have been opened.
The history of great sports writing is always there. It's
right.
Always
blood,
there
sweat, and chalk.
I don't have that,
but I've actually read that one.
Yeah, that's true.
I've read it multiple times. It's still one of the best books.
I'm just giving you crap about the hat, but it's a beautiful thing that you're on board, and it's like it matters because is there a wide receiver that you like for the Bears somewhere in the middle rounds? Because they could use one. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I like a lot of middle rounds. So you mean like you want to go round four?
Yeah.
Round four wide receiver.
How about number
Jalen Lane from Virginia Tech?
Yes.
I would really like.
Okay.
Like him a lot. I still go to like Pat Bryant from Illinois. I would like him in round five. I would be okay with Ricky White from UNLV in round five or round six. The weird thing about this receiver class, I think it drops off after round three. Like there's a decent drop off and we get to the guys where it's like Tez Johnson, who's the size of my fifth grader. Or we get to Xavier Restrepo, who ran a 4.8 40. You know, there's a pretty good drop-off this year. It's not the super deep wide receiver class like we're used to.
Matt, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate you. Good luck next week.
Appreciate you guys. I'm moving the hat right now.
Okay? Oh, you're unbelievable. I'm telling you, it's the best partner we ever had. It's number one right there. I've tried.
Yeah. He's like, I gotta get out.
I gotta get away from these chamokes.
I'm not gonna let anyone see me move that calf.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys heard of Guagi? Go up and get it, guy.
I mean, yeah, I could hear him right there. Speaks is all right, but that other guy, man, he's a problem.
Is that the highlight of your radio career when we were driving home from Detroit and that clip surfaced of him on day three coverage?
No, it's not. It's not, but it's certainly up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad I asked.
It's certainly up there. You know, I'd say it's a good question. What's a highlight? If you had to pick a highlight of your radio career, that's a big question right there.
I mean,
sure it wasn't that, Speaks. That's one thing's for sure, that positive. It wasn't Guagi.
I'd have to say,
way to shut that down so quickly.
Being able to stand behind Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer as they called the final out of the 2016 World Series. Like being able to be in the back of that booth in Cleveland.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
It's pretty good.
I have to say that one.
The No Butt Show.
You got a no. you got a number one? You got a no doubter number one?
100%.
You do?
The final Friday Bears report before the Bears Super Bowl with Dan, Terry, Goff, Abatacola, and Zach. That is my number one. I don't know if I'll ever have a better 30 minutes on the radio than that.
Damn. Just felt like you covered everything.
No. That's not why.
Just more fun.
You know how like you're always trying to like get me to like let go? That was the moment where I was like, this is going off the rails and I am not going to fight it. I'm just going to go with it. We could not have had more fun as a radio show, and everyone played their role to perfection.
That's really cool.
In that moment,
it is
the most special time that I've ever had on the radio.
That's psychologically interesting too, because as you say, like, you know, people trying to get you to loosen up or let it go off the rails or whatever, and your immediate answer is a moment where you were able to do that.
It's a big trust factor. Like, it's a culmination of Dan and Terry like trusting me with the Bears report overall.
Uh-huh.
It's Zach is one of my most like co-conspirators in this industry. Jason and Maddie, like those two guys were just on it. Like they were on it. Like the drops that Jay was throwing in there, it was amazing. And there was just a lot of joy. So for me, it was easy. I had just seen Prince. Like there's a lot going on in that moment. And I thought it was really special radio.
That's excellent.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's try to build that trust, guys. Let's try to get there. All right.
See how he took that?
No.
Like he didn't just live with it.
No,
like he
I
had
did.
To bring it forward to this.
The Uber driver likes him too. All right. He also likes anything Speaks does.
I'm saying I want you to be that relaxed. I want us to have moments like that.
Impossible.
I think it's possible.
No, not at this point. I'm too far gone, Speaks. You can't save me.
There's only one thing that can save you. That's the dungeon.
Well,
you know,
we'll see.
It could unlock some stuff.
We'll see if that could save me.
All right.
We'll see.
A lot of sex down there, I heard.
In the dungeon?
Not,
not necessarily. No. Not necessarily, Shane. It's
not
a common
really.
Misconception.
Huh.
It is.
Yeah. It's too bad.
Maybe not. It depends on what your kink is. And we don't kink shame on this show.
Anybody remember Igor's Dungeon? Remember that store? Igor's Dungeon, I think, was on Clark.
Oh, no, Belmont.
Belmont, yeah.
Belmont, right by the Belmont Red Line.
Belmont right by Clark. Igor's Dungeon. That's where you went to get some stuff that you shouldn't get.
What kind of stuff, Speaks?
I don't know. You know.
Sex toys?
No. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But a bunch of other stuff, too. You know?
BDSM stuff.
Yeah, but some other stuff, too. Like, if you need to...
Headphone monitor, Sony headphone monitors go in there.
Not those.
Was that like an undercover drug place? Like, could you get...
No, you know, like, if you needed to, you know, use some of those canisters to make whipped cream, you know?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like that stuff.
God.
You can get that.
Your generation, man.
Yeah. Wait, I'm confused. Canisters to make whipped cream?
Well, yeah, you put the little...
Yeah, you huff it.
The little whip hits in there.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically.
I remember
what I've heard.
That was one of those things where when we moved from the city to the suburbs...
Uh-huh.
And going to HF and huffing was a thing. Mm. And I was like, what is that? And then they used to call this guy that used to do it.
Uh-huh.
They used to call him Sweet Breath.
Oh, boy.
Because he would take, I think it was Lysol. and spray it into a bag.
Oh yeah, or maybe
and then huff that
Krylon spray paint. I saw people doing that at a college party one time. Their teeth were blue and they were laughing. And it's horrifying.
I just remember being like, I am in a completely different world now than what I was a couple months ago.
I'm just talking about the whipped cream stuff. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say wananana, 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 wananana. It's basically what it sounded like in your head.
Huh. They used to come into the Best Buy that I worked at and buy those air canisters that you would clean the keyboards off with.
Oh, yeah.
And huff those. They'd buy them like 12 at a time. Be like, a lot of keyboards?
Cleaning a lot of keyboards, are you?
Yeah, and I remember.
Yeah, in my mind.
I remember a roommate saying, yeah, I'm a cake chef. I'm going to need as many of these as you have. I'm doing a lot of decorating this weekend.
You should have seen, like, the look on 14-year-old Lawrence's face. So, why do you guys call him Sweet Breath? Yeah. Oh, because you know what? It wasn't Lysol, Shane. You know what it was? It was Glade. It was Glade in the brown paper bag, and that's what that dude was huffing. I was like, that's a thing that you guys do?
Don't do it, kids.
I've never heard of that.
Don't do it. For God's sakes, kids, stay away from this stuff. Don't listen to Lawrence like this.
I hope Sweet Breath is still around.
Love you, Sweet Breath.
Shout out to you, Sweet Breath. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Cubs. Are they in the market to make a trade? We'll find out next on The Score.